This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد استسمع considered to be from the fitrah, from the natural nature of a human being. The natural thing of a human being, it's what a human being has been built upon. And it's the sunnah and the way and the methods and practices of all the prophets from Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to our Sayyiduna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam and all the prophets, Sayyiduna Isa, Musa, Yahya, Ayyub, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the meaning of fitra, and I mentioned the hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that 10 things are of fitra. Ashrun min al-fitrati, 10 things are from fitra. Qassu al-sharibi, the clipping of the mustache. Wa i'fa'u al-lihyati, the lengthening of the beard. Wa siwaku, using of the siwak. Istinshaqu al-ma'i, rinsing of the nose. Wa qassu al-adhfari, and clipping of the nails. Wa ghaslu al-barajimi, and washing of the joints. Wa nadfu al-ibiti, the removing of underarm hair, وحلق العانتي, pubic hair, shaving it, and انتقاص الماء, which is استنجر, cleaning yourself when you go to the toilet, and the last one, which the narrator of the hadith forgot, but he thought that most likely it is madmada, which is gargling of the mouth. You see, this is a hadith mentioned, as I said, many books of hadith. There are another similar type of hadith, and some other words have been used. And so one more of the fitrah as well has also been mentioned in another hadith, which is called al-khitan. Al-khitan is circumcision, to circumcise a newborn baby, circumcision. In Arabic we call it khitan, and in the Urdu language we say khatna, but in the Arabic language we call it al-khitan. So anyway, I talked about the first one, which was the clipping of the mustache. And in the first day I talked about the importance of purity, the importance of tahara, how it's very important for a Muslim brother or a sister, male, female, to remain pure. It's at-tuhuru shatru al-iman. I was talking about this 2 days back. The tahara is half of iman. It's at-tuhuru nisfu al-iman. It's half, it's part of faith. And Islam places a lot of emphasis on remaining clean and pure and purifying yourself and making sure that the body is physically pure. Because what happens, that this has an effect on the spiritual aspect. So a person keeps his physical aspect, body clean and pure, that inshallah that will have an effect on his soul, on his heart, and on his spiritual progress. So this is very important. And you see, Islam puts a lot of emphasis on purity. There's an incident mentioned, that a very famous incident, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was going for the battle of Tabuk, the munafiqun, the hypocrites, as you may be aware of this, that they made a masjid, they built a place which they call it a masjid, which they used to call, that they call, and they used to call it Masjid Dhirar. Dhirar means that masjid built for the purpose of what? For the purpose of harming other people. So these were the munafiqun, hypocrites. They were not Muslims, as you know, that outwardly, they were, externally they were showing and expressing that they were Muslims, but inwardly they were not Muslims. And they had kufr. This is what nifaq means. Nifaq means to be a hypocrite. So they made this masjid, and the sole aim, objective, purpose and goal of building this masjid was that they can make plans against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make plans against Muslims, against the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and how to attack them and how to try to kill, wal'iyadu billah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they also made this plan that when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he come there, what we'll do is somebody will throw a stone from top of his head, from top of a mountain or something, and drop it straight directly on our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in this way he will die. Walayyadu billah. Anyways, they made this masjid, the hypocrites, outwardly showing and expressing that they're Muslims, but they were not Muslims, but they built this masjid. And one day they called the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said that, can you come into our masjid? This is a new masjid in our locality, and we want for the barakah, we want to receive and gain barakah, so therefore if you can come and just come here and perform two raka'ah nafil and make dua. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they used to do that. You know, when they used to buy a new house, and even people do it today, but when they used to buy a new house, the first thing they used to, not just for dua, today what do? When we buy a new shop, or when we open a shop or a house, we will call them, you know, Imam or the Shaykh, we will call him and make a dua, that's it, in the shop. The sunnah is that you call a person who you think is pious and godly and saintly, and who's knowledgeable and pious, that he comes and performs two rak'ah salah. So there's barakah in there. And why? So that that's the place of you performing your salah at home. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they used to buy and purchase a new house, they used to invite our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say that, come and perform please two rak'ah nafil here, optional prayer. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform his two rak'ah nafil prayer there, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, or the person whose house it was, he would consider and make and regard that place as his place of worship. That's his masjid. As you know that women, what's the i'tikaf? The i'tikaf is in the house, in the homes. In the homes. But the fuqaha, the Islamic scholars mention that this means that in the place of the worship, the masjid of the house, the masjid of the home. Where's the masjid of the home? A woman should make sure that she should assign and fix a particular area of the house where she makes a ibadah. She should do that, it's very important. And that's why when you sit in i'tikaf, a woman, when a sister sits in i'tikaf, she should be in that room, like if you have like a box room or something, if you have like a, you know, a small room or somewhere like that, or some anywhere, in one corner of the room, you've got your, you know, the prayer mat there, and you've got your Quran there, you've got some of the books there, your subha, you know, when you read the tasbih on, and you've got a few of your books and Quran and things like that, kept in a small corner, and whenever you perform, whether it's Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, the sister goes there and performs there. That's how. That's the real way to do it. Not that today what happens is sister, she's praying one salah in the bedroom, and Dhuhr is in the kitchen, and then Asr is in the corridor, and then Maghrib is near the washroom, and probably Isha is in the, you know, garden or something. But anyway, but it shouldn't be like that. And she's there like right next to the kitchen, and then halfway through the cooking, let me just pray my two raka'ah, you know, quickly finish, and I've just put the food on. So if something goes wrong, if it starts burning, I'll able to come quickly and break my salah. So right next to the kitchen door, Allahu Akbar. That's wrong, sisters. No, it shouldn't be like that. Salah should be performed with khushu', with khudu, with devotion. With a lot of devotion is very important. And it should be, so you should have fix a particular area of your homes. Whether it's the bedroom, whether it's some other room in a corner where you keep your prayer mat, the musalla, the prayer mat, you keep it there, and you put the Quran there, and the books there, and everything's there, and that's your assigned fixed area, and this is the masjid of your home. So anyway, I was talking about that. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to do that as well. So that these munafiqeen, these hypocrites, they call the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he went for the Battle of Tabuk, when he was coming back, he was supposed to be going to the masjid, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi aware of this through revelation, made him aware through revelation, and sent a wahi on him that these people they've got bad plans, they want to try to kill you. Anyway, the story goes on, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not go there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses about this in the Quran, and he said that لا تقوم فيه أبدا, don't even go and, you know, perform salah and stand and perform salah and pray in their masjid. أبدا, never. لا مسجد أسس على التقوى, because that's Masjid al-Dirar, that's a masjid that's been built on trying to harm other people, the hypocrites. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَمَسْجِدُ الْأُسْتِسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ, that the masjid which was built on piety, on taqwa from the first day, which was Masjid Quba. As you know, the first masjid was the Masjid of Quba. So the masjid which was built on piety and taqwa, that's more rightful and worthy of you making, performing salah and, you know, standing in there. And then Allah says, فِيهِ رِجَالٌ, this is what I want to say, فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ يَتَطَهَرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَهِرِينَ. In that masjid are those people who like to be pure. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. And Allah likes the pure people. Allah likes the clean people. Allah loves the clean people. So in there, there are people who love to remain pure, and Allah loves to love. Allah loves the pure people. So purity Allah loves, and Allah loves the pure, clean people. It's very important. And then it's been mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to the Sahaba, he asked them that why has Allah, you know, he said, reveal this to me, that what do you do? So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they mentioned that whenever we go to urinate, we make sure that we clean ourselves with mud and stones, and also water, we make sure that the drops of urine are completely clean from us. So much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them in the Quran. So much significance. So anyway, this is about purity, which I was talking about. And anyway, I talked about that there are 10 things of fitrah. The first one in the hadith was qasu sharibi, clipping of the mustache. The second one, which was i'fa'ul lihyati, which is lengthening of the beard. This is a very important topic. It's a long topic, but I don't want to go into the details. This is sunnah of our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should lengthen men, especially, this is for men of course, they should lengthen their beards. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala narrates in his Sahih from Sayyidina Umar, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "And hiku shawariba wa'ful liha," that clip your, trim and clip your moustache and lengthen your beards. Another hadith as well, he says, أَرْخُ الْلِحَى وَخَالِفُ الْمَجُوسِ أَعْفُ الْلِحَى وَلَا أَحْفُ الشَّوَارِبُ وَأَعْفُ الْلِحَى. Shave your moustache, lengthen your beards. Many, many hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered and commanded that a man should lengthen his beard. It's the sunnah of our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For a person who loves our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he does not go into the, you know, nitty gritties of whether it's necessary or it's wajib or what it is and things like that. He doesn't go into all of that. There's a poet in Arabic, he says, he's got a very nice poetry. He said that لو كان حبك صادقا لأطعته إن المحب لما يحب مطيع. That if your love was truly correct, then you would have obeyed him, because a lover, a person who loves another, he follows him, he obeys him, he follows his ways. So therefore, if we have true love for our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we as men should try, we should, you know, try to lengthen the beard as much as possible. I mean, of course, remember, I want to say one thing here. I mean, I know the importance of beard, and that's, everybody knows about it and people always talk about it, but one thing I want to say here is, to keep a beard does not mean that you remain filthy. There's a hadith of our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he says, مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ شَعْرٌ فَلْيُكْرِمْهُ. If a man has hair, this is mutlaq. In the Arabic language or in the terminology of the fuqaha, this is considered to be mutlaq. Mutlaq means general. Any type of hair, فَلْيُكْرِمْهُ, that person should take care of it. A male or a female, or a female. A male or a female, if you have hair, then you should take care of it. If you can't take care of it, then remove it. You should look after it. That includes the hair of the head, and that includes the hair of the moustache, and the hair of the beard, and also the underarm hair and the pubic hair. And that's why it's coming, all of these things in the fitrah, so you have to remove it. This is the hukam of sharia, to take care of it. But man kana lahu sha'run falyukrimhu, whoever has hair, because now the hair of the head, a man, if he's keeping a long hair, then he should oil it. He should make sure he keeps it clean, does not leave it dirty and greasy with all you know, dandruff inside it. Look after it. If you have a problem, then clean shave it. Don't keep a hair. Especially, and also a woman as well, same thing. And beard also. Keeping a beard does not mean that, you know, your beard is all over the place, like a few hairs towards the right and towards the left, and it's massive. So much so that many ulama have given this fatwa. Well, this is in one of the riwayah in the Hanafi school of thought, that trimming it after one fist is wajib, even though that's not the mainstream opinion. But trimming the beard after one fist is wajib. You are sinful if you don't trim it after one fist. We've heard that you have to keep it till one fist, which is correct, of course. But another opinion, another opinion is that after one fist, you must trim it. Not just that you have to keep it till one fist, but that you can't even keep it longer than a fistful. So if you have the beard, then that does not mean that you keep it filthy and, you know, like, just all over the place. Because Islam, it teaches cleanliness, purity. When a person looks at you, he wants to look at, you know, a nice face. And so therefore, if you have a beard, you should oil it, you should comb it, keep it nice, and in a good condition. Nobody's saying that, you know, just keep it, just that if somebody looks, then he gets put off by, you know, keeping a beard. So there's a lot of importance about keeping a beard, and the first thing, which is trimming of the moustache. Trimming of the moustache, which I said yesterday, I mentioned that the emphasis on that, and lengthening of the beard, trimming of the moustache. There's a story mentioned where the Prophet sallallahu, a lot of people in the history books, they mention this, that our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once wrote to the king of his time, Kisra, inviting him towards Islam. And he sent two people, Abdullah ibn Hudhafa radiallahu anhu. He sent Abdullah ibn Hudhafa radiallahu anhu. He gave him the letter inviting this Kisra, the king of the time, inviting him towards Islam. And this letter was given to Kisra. Kisra, when he received the letter, he read that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is inviting him towards the worship of Allah and towards himself. He ripped the paper. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to know of this, when he became aware of this, he was greatly disturbed. Yeah, and he made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as he has ripped and teared my letter into pieces, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely destroy his kingdom and him being a king. And then after that, this Kisra, he wrote to one of his associates that sent two people to this person who's claiming to be a prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Send two people and go and talk to him, see what he's asking and what he's saying. So these two people of Kisra, they came to our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with clean shaven, no beard, and big massive moustaches and big massive, you know, as I was talking about yesterday. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he even did not even want to look at them. كَرِهَ النَّظَرَ إِلَيْهِمَا. He turned his face away from them and he said, وَيْلَكُمَا مَنْ أَمَرَكُمَا بِهَذَا. That woe to be you, who ordered you to do this, have big moustaches and clean shaven beard. They said that our king Kisra ordered us to do this. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَلَكِنْ أَمَرَنِي رَبِّي بِعِفَاءِ لِحْيَتِي وَقَصِّ شَارِبِي. But my Lord has ordered me to me that I should lengthen my beard and clip and trim my moustache. So it's the opposite, the tables have turned today. So therefore, brothers, this is very important. For sisters, as I mentioned yesterday, that they need to trim, you know, if I'm going to talk about the facial hair, which there's no time for today. I know the time of iftar is here, but I'm not going to talk about that. But for sisters, all the ulama, Imam al-Nawawi, and everybody, all the ulama agree upon this. And not that it's just permissible, it's necessary. That if a woman has some facial hair on her moustache, then she must remove it. Not keep. Sometimes women just keep, you know, like hair on their moustache, which is wrong. It's not right. They should make sure that they're clean and they adorn themselves for the husband. And it's very important. If they have hair on the chin, and they should remove that. It's not wajib, but it's mustahab, and you'll be greatly rewarded if you do it with the intention of pleasing your husband. So for a woman, it's very important she does that. She should adorn herself for the husband. It's very important, simple thing, that for the husband, a woman should not adorn herself. She should, rather, there's so much encouragement, but to a limit and to a level. Too much excessive makeup is not good. Too much excessive going, you don't make it your purpose, aim, goal of life. Too excessive, and remember, really, sisters, too much excessive makeup, it spoils it. Natural beauty is the best. Natural beauty, which Allah has created the human being on, فطرت الله التي فطر الناس عليها. We should be happy with the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Yes, a bit of adornment with jewelry and a bit of makeup, that's okay, but you don't go too to the extreme. Excessive, you know, like, and it really spoils your face. You know, people who have so much surgery done on the face, as you know, these famous actors and that old actor, what's her name? Liz Taylor, for example. facelifts after facelifts after facelifts. Look at Michael Jackson. He has a problem that he can't even come outside without an umbrella on his head. Why? Because his face is going to melt. He can't even come outside without an umbrella. So much punishment. Allah has given him punishment in this world. And therefore, you know, these people, when we look at these models and when we look at, well, I'm not saying we're supposed to, but when we know about them, that they have makeups and they do this and do that, this is just artificial beauty. Tell them to go and wash their face and then wake up in the morning and you look at her face, she'll be the most ugliest person in the world. So it's all artificial, just for the camera and just for that scene and just for that period, short period of time. And then when they grow old, remember, the way to determine where the beauty is, I know I'm just going over time, I'm just going to finish this, but you look at an old Muslim lady in her 50s and 60s who's grown in Islam, who's raised children in Islam, who's performed salah, given zakat, made umrah, hajj, you know, she's been a good Muslim, old Muslim lady. Look at her, the nur, the light on her face when she's in her 50s and 60s. And look at an old 50, 60 year old lady who's spent all her life in kufr. When she was 25, 26, she was probably the most beautiful woman in the world. But look at her now, how ugly she's become. There's no light, there's darkness on her face. So the beauty is not that artificial beauty. The beauty is the light, the nur, which is on the face, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Allah talks about this in the Quran. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. The light is in their face. In their faces, light and the nur is in their faces because of the effect of sajda. Remember, you know, some people, we think that, you know, this on the forehead, there's some kind of darkness and that's a sign. There's nothing like that in Sharia. I mean, I've never read anything like that. And Allah does not talk, it's not that dark mark on the forehead. Allah says, سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ. Wujuh means face. That they have light, general light and nur in their face because of the effect of sajda. Because of so much ibadah and worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this great light in the face. So artificial beauty, excessive, too much makeup and cosmetic surgery and plastic surgery, all of that must be avoided. But that does not mean that you can't adorn yourself. There are limits to it, inshallah. I'm going to talk about this further along tomorrow I'm not going to be here. But on Monday and a few other things, inshallah, I'm going to try to finish these 10 things of fitrah and end with this. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.